Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Ugh. This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Thanks for joining us today here on Faith in Your Recovery. We're going to give you a little special episode here. It's our Christmas episode. We've done this the last, I'd say 4 or 5 years, snuck a special one in here. That's what this is about. It's not so much recovery, but it's just a part of the Christmas story as it comes from God's Word. And today we're going to talk to you about the gifts of the Magi. Absolutely, they were numerous, and the story has a lot of twists and turns, but we're only going to focus on one part. We're not going to be exhaustive in the sense of wearing you down with everything that could be talked about within it, but I want to begin by reading the scripture from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, and once again, it's the gifts of the Magi, or the wise men, as we call them when we talk about our nativity scene. Okay. Oh, one hint here. Understand, the wise men arrived 2 years after, give or take a little, 2 years after the birth of Christ. So technically, they don't really belong in our nativity set, but it sure makes them look better. Huh? It's a neat part of it. Here's that scripture. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh were the gifts fit for a king, okay? The gold, it speaks of his kingship on earth as far as this child goes. The frankincense was fit and made for a deity, and myrrh, well, it's the symbol of death. These are standard gifts to honor a king. And you may want to know this as well. The Magi had traveled over 1,150 kilometers, which is approximately 714 miles. And they did that in 3 weeks by camel. That's about 34 miles a day on a camel. So the next time you complain about your car having a little roughness, give that some thought. The camel caravan had most probably about 12 magi. Now, we only hear of the three, but that's because of the gifts that they gave. It never says there weren't more. It never specifically says exactly how many were there. And the size of the caravan, well, it's said to have been the size of a small army. The three magi, the three wise men that we know about were Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. I'm sure your pronunciation may be different than that, but I just shoot it out the best I can. All right. After giving the gold, before giving the gold, the frankincense and the myrrh, the magi gave a gift. It says they bowed down and worshiped him. I am convinced that their worship of him, their recognition of him, was just as valuable as the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh put together. What are gifts that we give today? Most of us couldn't afford that gold, that frankincense, or maybe even that myrrh. And so what gifts can we give? We could certainly give worship, and God requires that. He wants that. He didn't need it, but he wants us to be able to give it. We can give praise, transparency. We can live a life that points to him. We can give grace, mercy, kindness. The list goes on. Encouragement to someone who's down. We can give service, serve someone who has a need or maybe doesn't have a need, but we just need to be able to give to them. Communication, and I think one of the most important things we can give, and it's not a gift that Christ necessarily wants or needs as much as he wants us to share it, and it's love, spelled T-I-M-E. So as we share that and we come closer, there's a story that's told, and it's always been interesting to me. It's an old African proverb story, whatever, but the story of a young student of a missionary teacher, after she had explained what Christmas was about, the celebration of the birth of Christ and the giving of gifts out of love for each other. After she had told that story, within days, one of her young students came to her with a very special shell from obviously the sea that was a few miles away. But what was unique about that? It was so lustrous. She'd hold it up in the light, and the colors were just almost unbelievable. The beauty of it, the magnificence of it all. And she said, "Where did you get this shell?" And he gave her the label of the beach, gave her the label of the area, and it was numerous miles away, and she was blown away that he would go that far to get it. And the student said that he had found it there, and she said, but you shouldn't have gone that far. You shouldn't have traveled that many miles. And the student just almost, in an excited way said, long journey, part of gift. So, the Magi had made that same long journey. These kings had traveled that same distance of long journey, part of gift. The gifts we give aren't about the money. They're about the effort of our heart, our spirit, our soul, our willingness to provide and to share. And then, of course, we all know the legend of the drummer boy. That little drummer boy who had no gift to bring, so he played on his drum, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. You've heard the story. You'll get the Christmas card this year, maybe. We often do, and it always brings a smile to my face when that happens. But not for one minute should any of us believe we don't have a gift to give, because we certainly do. Our blessings are God's gift to us. What we do with them is our gift to God. So the blessings that we have, I am totally convinced that God gives blessings for one reason. That's for us to give them away. That as long as we hoard it, it won't remain a blessing. But once it's given away, it has a chance to grow, to touch, to make a difference in someone else's life. We need to be able to share. We need to use that blessing to its fullest design. We need to offer that blessing to others without expecting anything in return. So we have gifts to give, maybe not of the size of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but the gift you have to give may be more meaningful, may make a greater difference than that which could be purchased. What's three gifts that you could give right now to others round about? First off, connection and community. How important is that? How important is family? How important is friends? How important are those others round about you? How important that individual struggling with a low tire, or that individual who could buy and sell your car in a heartbeat? As we come into community, as we come into connection, we learn to give and to share what true needs are. Gift number two could simply be commitment. There is a scripture, Mark 12, verse 30. You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul. It doesn't say a part of. It doesn't say as much as you can afford. It says all. And when we commit with our everything, especially when it's God's in the beginning, be ready. Be ready to be blessed and be ready to share that blessing. And finally, how about compassion and concern for others? We look at individuals and we see them with a struggle. Does that allow us to look down on them and to feel better about who we are? Or does it create in us a desire to find a way to make life better, easier, more comfortable for them? Are we about ourselves or are we about others? God never wants less than our best. And the gifts that we bring, when we bring them in the fullness of what they were created for, and we're able to give and to let go, He's blessed and we'll be blessed as well. These are gifts each of us can afford. It's not a matter of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's not a matter of I don't have what somebody else has. We've all got gifts that were given to us that are intended to be shared with others. This Christmas, let that be that guiding light for you. What are the true gifts that I can give? I'm not talking about Amazon gifts. I'm not talking about your local box store. I'm not talking about that gift card. No, I'm talking, what can you give and give from the heart and be sincere with? Do that. You'll be blessed. So will others. Merry Christmas. God bless. And the best of wishes for 2025. Thank you for everything you've done for ABLBH, our Faith in Your Recovery podcast. Be blessed. Stay in the battle. Keep giving. Amen.